very quickly just thank you for those that are in place. We thank you for the ushers that are here, the music ministry that is here. You don't have to do anything in the house, so when you do, it is deeply appreciated. Amen. Thank Bishop for being here, and Pastor Dawn, and Reverend Vance, and Reverend Holmes. We thank you for everything that you do to lift me up and lift the ministry up, not only on Sunday, but through the week as well. There's a young lady over here with us today. Her name is Latoya Johnson. Wave your hand so folks can see you. Give her a look in the face. We won't see her more. Amen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, thy strength and my redeemer. This morning we're talking on the subject of no longer bound. Coming from the book of Mark, looking at verses 2 through 20, when Jesus got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And the man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains. For he had often been bound in shackles for his feet and with chains, and he tore apart the chains and broke the shackles into pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue or tame him. See, did you catch that? His chains were broken, but he was still bound. Yeah. Night and day, he was consistently and constantly screaming and shrieking among the tombs and on the mountains, and he was cutting himself with sharp stones. He saw Jesus in the distance, and he ran up, and he bowed down before him. And screaming in a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have in common with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, swear to me, do not torment me." For Jesus had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." He was asking him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began begging him repeatedly not to send them out of the region. Now there was a large herd of pigs gazing on a mountain, and the demons begged him, saying, "Send us into the pigs, so that we may go into them." And Jesus gave them permission. See, he had to give them permission. The demons in your life? Oh, come on. All right, let's keep going. The herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down a steep bank into the sea, and they were drowned one after another. Briefly, we're going to talk this afternoon, rather, no longer bound, or Jesus is a chain breaker. You know, we put labels on people, and then we get labeled by people. And then we get so used to being labeled a certain way that we tend to start to live up to a concept that really isn't who we are. Come on now. Have you ever been labeled by somebody to be a certain way and it really isn't true?
Yeah.
But you find yourself starting to live up to that expectation. We put labels on people, and people put labels on us. Come on now, I'll share something with you. I've been labeled as a serious dude.
Come on now.
Right? In business and even in the church, I've been labeled as serious. Sometimes I've been called unapproachable. And so I found that I have started to live up to that name, that label. But the truth is, y'all don't see me when I'm playing with my dogs and messing around with my best friend over there. She will tell you I'm probably the biggest clown that she knows.
Come on.
But see, we start to live up to those things.
Yes, we do.
And then what happens, we get an idea in our mind that now that we have to be a certain way to live up to what the world has labeled us to be. And then we begin to think that it's impossible for us to change. 2 Corinthians 7:1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you've done it with. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you're trying to think you ought to be going, and you know you have no business going there. See, you're not listening. You want me to scream and holler at you this morning. I'm not going to do it. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been.
Right.
It doesn't matter who you've been with,
right,
what you've done and who you've done it with.
Come on.
Right? Christ can deliver.
Yes.
And he'll break the chains of bondage in your life.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Let's talk about pigs for a minute. Pigs were viewed with the utmost disgust by the Jews. A pig is a real garbage picker. They say it'll eat anything. Although I know some folks that will eat anything. Unlike other mammals, listen, pigs don't sweat. And since they don't sweat, they hold toxins, remain trapped in their body, which transfers over into their meat. They have over a dozen parasites in them, tapeworms and such. There's no safe temperature that you can cook pork at to ensure that all the parasites, eggs, and their cysts will be killed. Swine carry 30 active diseases at any time that are easily passed to humans.
That's right.
I'm talking about pigs now. So now we wonder why they were classified as unclean. When we read this story, we find a man living in a world of religious compromise that began a long time before. See, what we do is we read a passage of the Bible, then we hide and we say it doesn't make sense to us because we don't want to read the whole thing.
Yeah.
See, you've got to read and study. 2 Timothy 2 said, that's your favorite passage of scripture that says, study to show thyself approved, right? So you can rightly divide the word of truth. In order to understand this passage, you've got to go back to the book of Joshua. So if you go back to the 22nd chapter of Joshua, the children of Israel were getting ready to cross over the Jordan River. It's at this point that the tribes of Reuben and Gad and half the tribes of Manasseh, they decided they weren't going to cross over. They chose instead to settle in an area known in Mark 5 as Gadara. They made the decision to separate themselves from the tabernacle and from the presence of God. You missed it. They made a conscious decision to separate themselves from God. They told Joshua that they would remember the ordinances of God, and to prove that, they would establish an altar. So they established an altar, and that altar was not for sacrifice. It was for remembrance. Now here's where you ought to say, uh-oh. Certainly you didn't say, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Separation from God brings compromise. Remembering the things that the Lord has done for you is important. But there are times in our lives when you absolutely just have to sacrifice something on the altar.
Yeah.
You didn't hear me.
Yeah.
There's times in our lives when we absolutely have to sacrifice some things on the altar.
Yeah.
What's got you bound up today? What's got you bound up today? And are you brave enough to bring it to the altar? What chains are holding you hostage? And are you ready and are you willing to come to the altar?
There you go.
I'm almost done.
Talk to him.
But I feel like I've got to get back to that. There are times in our lives when we have to sacrifice something.
Yes, man.
We walk around here bound up and wrapped up and tied up with people. With places, with things, with hurt, but we won't bring it to the altar.
All right.
But we need to get into the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
When you get away from the altar of sacrifice and you're separated from the presence of God, you'll forget about the things that you originally consecrated yourself for.
Yeah.
Right? When you separate yourself from the church, it won't be long before compromise sets in and people begin to get bound up again by the things that you previously been delivered from. Right? Let's talk about it. We get hurt in church. Right? What do? We run. We isolate. We won't go to anybody's church because we're afraid that what happened over there is going to happen over here. And then you begin to isolate, and when you isolate, you begin to withdraw. When you withdraw, you compromise because you're now separating yourself.
Yes, sir.
When you separate, you get bound up. It ain't nothing worse to get bound up in something you've already been delivered from. If you stay away from the church due to a past experience of fear, a repeat, you compromise.
Yes, sir.
The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribes of Manasseh soon began to forget about the laws that they, and they eventually ended up raising pigs.
That's right.
Jews, come on, listen.
Yeah.
Jews raising pigs.
Uh-huh.
They already said they're unclean.
That's
they're
right.
not fit to eat.
Now
they're
right.
raising them
uh-huh.
because they separated and then they compromised. When they compromised, they forgot.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
What are you compromising today? Well, don't say it out loud. Jews raising pigs. So we find here Jews raising pigs. They had compromised the things of God. In this environment, we find a man now who is full of the devil. He was possessed, he was tormented, and he was in despair.
Yes.
He was so bound by the devil that the chains couldn't hold
him.
Uh-huh. Did you hear that? He was so bound that chains couldn't
That's
hold
right.
him.
That's right.
And that's something, see, we miss things like that. We're so used to reading and then shouting and not really getting involved in pulling the word apart. He was so bound up that chains couldn't hold him down.
That's
right. We're walking around here thinking we're free and we're bound up in a mess. Jesus came into his environment and immediately after speaking peace to a sinking boat, he arrives on the beach of a country called the Gadarenes. He was immediately confronted with a heart-wrenching sight. A man possessed with devils for a long time, naked, living in a graveyard.
Yes.
He would cut himself, he would cry, and he would moan in misery because he was in spiritual bondage. There wasn't anything physically holding him. We know the chains were bound, but he was mentally bound.
Yes.
Be careful about the folks walking all around you. They may be mentally bound up. This shipwreck of a human life falls at the feet of Jesus. As strong as he was and able to break chains and shackles that placed on him by human hands, he was helpless and unable to break the spiritual bondage that tormented his life. But listen, he still had enough sense to see Jesus and go running towards him. So stop using your situation. Stop using whatever it is that got you bound up. Stop using that excuse and come and run to Jesus.
Amen.
He cried in anguish and he would take sharp stones and he would cut himself. He fled the presence of the living and made his dwelling place among the dead. Perhaps maybe wishing he could join them. Many people struggle with things in their lives that have them bound up. Some actually believing they're in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Some not.
Yeah.
Some believing that they're free and they're not. And yet they know they're not living with a peace and liberty that they could be. Something deep inside, unsatisfied, holding back is a spiritual chain.
Yeah.
But Jesus, come on now, Jesus is a chain breaker.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, something deep inside that's unsatisfied, you need to bring that to the altar.
That's right. Praise him.
But let me tell you something, Jesus Christ, he can break every chain.
Yes, he can.
He's been tempted on every hand.
Yes, he has.
He knows all about it.
Yes, he does.
There ain't nothing too hard. There ain't nothing too dirty.
Come on.
There isn't nothing that you have done that he doesn't already know about.
That's
so
right.
You may as well stop being proud and just let it go and let God deal with that in your life. But you've got to get in his presence.
Yes.
He did all that screaming, he hollered, and he cut himself. But he had to get into the presence of the Almighty.
Yes, he did.
Because he knew that his deliverance was in the presence of God.
Come on.
If you're bound up, you've got to get in the presence of God.
Yes.
The church, yes, is a hospital.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
But Jesus is the one that is the cure-all.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you have to get into the presence.
Yes,
Luke 4:18, I can prove it to you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. If that's not good enough, 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. What's the rest of that? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. If you need to be liberated, if you need to be freed, if you need your chains broken, then you need to get into the presence of God.
Hallelujah.
And I think it's interesting because we read these passages, but you know, if you read it and you read it, you take the mindset at the very beginning, you already know the outcome. Because where Jesus is, there is liberty. So that man knew enough, possessed and bound up. He knew that he got to get to Jesus. Because he knew if he got to Jesus, in Jesus, there is freedom. Because this man was compelled by the power of God to fall down at his feet and worship him. The head demon had to ask Jesus, please don't make us leave. See, nothing in your life can touch you. They have to have permission. Don't be bound up. God's not. Y'all should be shouting in here. The head demon, as soon as he got into the presence of the Almighty God, he lost all of his power. He lost all of his authority. Grateful that you can't buy it.
You can't buy it.
If I got some money, I could buy an easy life. But you got to get in his presence.
Yes.
See, if you let go of something, it has to go somewhere, right?
Yeah.
That's why in the Holiness Church, when they're casting out something, they take the women and the children out of the sanctuary.
That's right.
Because that's got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? Because even though we feel that demons have a power and authority, they still need a host.
That's right.
So they had to go into some pig.
That's
and
right.
A pig had sense enough to know that I can't have this in me. Right. I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
Come on now. Whatever it is, turn it over to Jesus.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, turn it over to Jesus.
Yeah.
Turn it over. See, we let folks bind us up. Mm-hmm. Our husband do something wrong to us. Our wife do something wrong to us. And they going about their business and we're bound up.
Come on.
See, that doesn't work. That's not, that doesn't make sense. Somebody hurt you in the church and now you won't go and worship somewhere else. That's bound up.
Come on.
And that stuff needs to be left at the altar.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.